figured that out. No, no, nobody tell him. Nobody tell him.
Oh, boy.
Where are we? We're in the book of John, and we've just come from the end of chapter 20 where Jesus has said, blessed are those who believe, see and believe, and blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And that was in Jerusalem, in a room. And then some time passes, and we find ourselves in a completely different place. How did Jesus withdraw? Where did he go? And what happened to the disciples and the apostles? Well, somehow they had to make a journey. They had to make a journey pondering all of this belief that William preached on so eloquently last week. We're moving from believing to behaving to belonging. And how were they behaving on this trip? What must they have been saying to each other? What must they have been guessing about? What must they have been passionate about? And then it's a quiet time, and they find themselves at the edge of a lake. And they have to do what they usually do. They do what they know. From the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John, from the translation of the Message, hear now the word of the Lord. After this, Jesus appeared again to the disciples, this time at the Tiberias Sea, or Sea of Galilee. And this is how he did it. Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the brothers Zebedee, James and John, and two other disciples were together. And Simon Peter announced, I'm going fishing. The rest of them replied, we're going with you. So they went out and they got in the boat and they caught nothing that night. And when the sun came up, Jesus was standing on the beach, but they didn't recognize him. Jesus spoke to them. Good morning. Did you catch anything for breakfast? And they answered, no. He said, well, throw your net off to the right side of the boat. See what happens. They did what he said, and all of a sudden there were so many fish in it, they weren't strong enough to pull it in. And then the disciple that Jesus loved, he said to Peter, it's the master. When Simon Peter realized that it was the master, he threw on some clothes. Well, you know, they stripped for work. He dove into the sea. The other disciples came along in by the boat, for they weren't far from land, about 100 yards or so. And they pulled along this giant net of fish. When they got out of the boat, they saw a fire laid with fish and bread cooking on it. And Jesus said, bring some of the fish you just caught. And Simon Peter joined them, pulled the net to shore, 153 big fish. And even with all those fish, the nets didn't rip. And Jesus said, breakfast is ready. None of the disciples dared ask, who are you? They knew it was the master. And Jesus took the bread and he gave it to them. And he did the same with the fish. And this was now the third time that Jesus had shown himself alive to the disciples since being raised from the dead. After breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Master, you know I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. And then he asked him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Master, you know I love you. And Jesus said, shepherd my sheep. And then he asked it a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was upset that he had asked him the third time, do you love me? So he answered, Master, you know everything there is to know. You've got to know I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. I'm telling you the truth now. When you were young, you dressed yourself When you went wherever you wished. When you get old, you'll have to stretch out your hands while someone else dresses you. And then you will be led somewhere that you don't want to go. He said this to hint at the kind of death that Peter would suffer to glorify God. And then he commanded, "Follow me." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Conley. I love this scripture because it contains within it a scene that is revisited. The scene that took place around a charcoal fire in Peter's life, where he denied the Lord three times. There's another charcoal fire here on the beach as Jesus is preparing breakfast for the disciples. And around this charcoal fire, Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me? Do you love me more than these?" Peter says, "Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus says, "Feed my lambs." The second time, Jesus says to Peter, "Simon, the son of John, do you love me?" He says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus says, "Tend my sheep." And then a third time, and in the scriptures it says, when Jesus asked him a third time, it must have finally hit Peter that he was still hurting from the third time that he had denied his Lord. But now Jesus is not bringing that up to cause him any more guilt or shame. He's giving him an opportunity to let it go by asking him yet the third time to affirm his love. "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep." I believe that in that scene around the charcoal fire, Peter was restored. Now, he believed in Jesus, but he probably carried a little bit of that guilt and shame of having denied him. But make no doubt about it, Jesus knows how to restore us, cleanse us, heal us, forgive us. So now Peter is probably able to just take a deep breath for the first time in a long time, knowing everything's right between us, Lord. Everything's right between us. And Jesus knows that. But right after that, Jesus says, "Well now, if you love me, feed my sheep." You see, that's what this message is about. It's not enough to say, "I love you, Lord," and not to do the things He's called us to do. Not to behave the way He's called us to behave. It's not enough to say, "Lord, I love you," and then not to feed His sheep. It's not okay to say, "Lord, I believe," but then our behavior does not model what we profess. And so today we're talking about behaving. Who are we following the resurrection? We are the people who believe in the resurrection. We believe. But we're also the people who behave. And so I just think it's so very good today to ask ourselves, as we think about the way we behave, is this how Jesus taught us to behave? You know, in James, the second chapter, verses 15 through 16, there's a verse, to paraphrase it, it goes like this. "Now, if you see a brother or a sister who doesn't have adequate clothing or food, and you say to your sister or your brother, go in peace and stay warm, what good is that?" In other words, right there it tells us that believing is not enough. We need to behave. The way we behave ought to model what we say we believe. And so Jesus has told us, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Bob Dylan has a song. I'll spare you from singing it, okay? But I like it. I don't know if he was thinking about this or not, but it sort of hits right at the heart of what I'm talking about. What good am I if I'm like all the rest? If I just turn away when I see how you're dressed? If I shut myself off so I can't hear you cry, what good am I? What good am I if I know and don't do? If I see and don't say, if I look right through you? If I turn a deaf ear to the thundering sky, what good am I? What good am I then to others and me? If I've had every chance and yet still fail to see, if my hands are tied, must I not wonder within who tied them and why and where must I have been? So really, I think it's a good idea from time to time at the end of the day to reflect upon how we behaved. The things we've said, things we've done, and then ask ourselves the question, you know, is that how Jesus taught us to behave? You know, from time to time I catch myself reading the newspaper, and I can't believe it, what some people say, what some people do, and they're grown-ups. And I'm going, did your mother teach you to behave like that? And then the Lord says, those are the questions I want you to ask yourself. Because as Polly tells me often, we're responsible to one another, but we're not responsible for. In other words, no matter what others do, the question is, what do I do or don't do? And so my behavior is to be one in which I care about what Jesus cares about. And Jesus cares about people. He cares about hurting people. He cares about lonely people. He cares about people who are outsiders. He cares about young children. He cares about elderly people. He cares about tax collectors. He cares about people. You know, Jesus looked upon the multitudes and had compassion for them, for he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And he had come to be the shepherd. And so I kind of let that question stick with me for a while. Did Jesus teach me to behave that way? Polly and I attended a continuing education event several years ago. Very interesting speakers. Alan Hirsch and his wife Deborah Hirsch. They're from Australia. They're leaders in a new movement of church renewal, in which they literally go out to places of need and they establish churches amongst the people that they're trying to serve, and they live with the people and get involved with the people, and they disciple people there, and they have a very unique way of doing that. They call that missional churches. But Deborah told a little bit of her faith story, and to sum it up very shortly, it was weird. Very weird. I don't know if I would have been as transparent as she was. I don't know if I'd been as vulnerable in saying some of the things she did. I'll spare you some of that. But there was one little story that she told. She said, you know, at one time, I hung out with a crowd that was, you know, did drugs, did sex, did anything we wanted. We thought it was cool. We're young. We had different color hair. We looked different. We smoked pot. But we were kind and loving. We were actually spiritual. We were looking for ways to be good human beings. And then one day, one of us thought, well, if we're kind of looking for those things, don't you think we should go to a church? And they said, yeah, let's go to a church. So in walks this crowd, and I can only imagine the heads that go like that, you know, like that. And so they come in, and they all sit down, and the deacon comes up to the pastor and goes, do you see what just happened there? He says, yes, I see what just happened there. And he says, well, what do you want us to do, Pastor? It was a very small church. It was a conservative church, but it was a behaving church. I don't care whether you're conservative or liberal. Do you behave like Jesus taught you to behave? So the pastor said, come here just a second. Let's pray. Let's pray right now. What does Jesus want us to do? Had a little prayer. And then the pastor says, Jesus just told me what to do. He said, what's that, Pastor? He said, whatever you do, you be gentle with my little lambs. And it was in that church that she became a Christian and was nurtured and discipled despite what she looked like or what she had done or her past or anything. The people just got to know her and to love her. And from that experience, her life took on new direction. Wow, what a story. From time to time, I catch myself thinking, wow, that's a little lamb there. That's kind of like a person who's innocent, doesn't maybe know what to do. I need to be gentle in how I attempt to correct him or her or address something with him or her. And I'm reminded of another story of a man who said he overheard his grandfather talking with his grandmother one time about what he should say to him because he had done something he shouldn't have done. And he overheard the conversation that was taking place in the kitchen. And his grandmother said to his grandfather, Pierre, be careful about what you're getting ready to say right now, because whatever you say to our grandson, he's going to remember for the rest of his life. The words we say matter. The things we do matter. Be careful. Be gentle with my little lambs, Jesus says. So, how do we apply this today? Here's how I think we could apply it. Who are the sheep? Who are the lambs that Jesus is asking us to feed, to care for? And let me start within the home. If you have children in your home, you have young people in your home, you start there. And husbands, you start with loving your wife. And wives, I'll let you talk about what to do with the husbands. But start in your homes. And begin to see one another, especially your children, as precious little lambs. Start in your homes. You can look around in your neighborhood. I'll never forget the story that Bill Jones did. True story, many years ago, he found that there were just children playing out in the neighborhood. It seemed like they really didn't have anybody to look after them, and that was true. Many of them came from broken homes and had missing parents and everything else, and he gathered them up to take them to ball games, and that's how we started Duke Day here at this church, and gathering kids together and taking them to a football game and then a worship service. And he just looked around in the neighborhood. And do you know that's how Sunday school classes started? It started in England when this man looked around and he saw children that were loose in the street on Sunday mornings. And he thought, there's just nobody caring for these little kids. And so he gathered them together. They began to do kind of two things at the same time. He was teaching them how to read, but teaching them how to read from the Bible. So it was education, but it was also Christian education. And that's where the Sunday school movement started from. So look around your neighborhood, and then beyond that, think about, well, you know what? Who are the people that cross your path from day to day? Who are the people who cross your path from day to day? All kinds of people. And so develop a consciousness of how can I feed Jesus' sheep. Now, we have ministries in our church that you can become a part of. Obviously, we know in Southeast Raleigh with Bridge the Gap and many other things that go on, there are things going on all the time in which we're feeding sheep. We're sharing the heart of Christ from the heart of Carrie, really to feed sheep, to care for lambs. And that's what the ministries and mission of our church are all about. And so who are the sheep and who are the lambs that Jesus is calling us to care for? I'm reminded of a story that a friend of mine told at an annual conference during retirement. It used to be that when Methodist pastors retired, they were given a microphone. They could say anything they wanted to say. That was their going away speech. They don't do that anymore, but it was very interesting. You never knew what somebody was going to say. And there was one fella that actually he had served a church that I followed. And he gave a very inspirational talk, but he said, I want to say a word to all of you pastors out there who are continuing to serve. As I reflect upon my ministry and the things I did, the things I didn't do, what might be my word of wisdom to you, my word of advice to you. And he said this: no matter what church you're at, no matter the people that you're with, they have problems. You have problems. Everybody has problems. There'll be times when you'll be a little bit hurt. There'll be times when you'll feel a little bit maybe neglected. There'll be times when you need to be careful because Jesus has entrusted them as sheep unto your care. Don't beat the sheep. Feed the sheep. Feed the sheep. That's your job. And so, I feed the sheep with the Word of God. But then I ask myself, am I behaving according to the Word of God? That's the message today. We profess belief in the resurrected Jesus Christ. Does our behavior reflect our belief? If so, Jesus says, feed my sheep. Who are the sheep you could feed? We open up now for prayer. Polly and I will be glad to pray with anyone about anything. We have a shepherd who cares about us. And he said to pray for one another. Let us stand.